Would you take your Bibles, please, and let's turn together to 1 Timothy chapter 2 tonight. We have a continuing series that I've been doing on Wednesday nights this summer on praying for our country, praying for our leaders. We are indeed in very troubling times here in America. I don't know if you were able to put yourself in watching some of the debate last night, but it's embarrassing. It's absolutely embarrassing. A country that's $20 trillion in debt, and we're promising everything in the world. Free health care. Get your college education for free. And everybody likes that. Well, that sounds great. Free health care and free college education. Where was that whenever I was in school 30-something years ago? But that's not going to happen. A country cannot sustain that kind of debt. That we've got, we're borrowing just this year, the United States is borrowing $1.75 trillion. That's how much we're borrowing. And that's going to come to a screeching halt someday. I don't know when it's going to be. But I think that we all can say that our country needs prayer. And not only our political leaders, but also the people of our country that want those things. There's something very much wrong with the people that wants everything for free and they want other people to pay for it. That's it on the bottom line. It's the rich people that's going to pay for it. Well, who are the rich people? Well, that's, it's everybody in some sense, but here's another thing. The wealthy people are the ones that have the big corporations that are providing jobs for everybody else, and you don't realize what's going to happen. Just do a quick study on Venezuela. And you'll find out very quickly how things can change, just like that. 10 years ago, wealthy nation in South America. Oil money. But you know what they did? They went down the socialist pathway. Everything's free. We got the oil money that's going to take care of that. And what happened? The country's imploding. Nearly 1 million people have already left the country, fleeing to other South American countries. That's a small country. Less than 10 million people that live in that country. And yet, you think about what has happened in a relatively short period of time. Now, it's up to us as God's people to pray for our leaders, to pray for our president, to pray for our vice president, to pray for those leaders. And we pointed out several times or sessions before, we pray for the people that we're disgusted by. Okay, I mentioned some names in the passage. And we have a responsibility to pray for them. Let's go back to our passage and read again these first 8 verses here in 1 Timothy chapter 2. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, now get that, first in importance. That's the idea in the Greek language. First primary importance. First of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for whom? Everybody say it out loud. All mankind. All men. You mean the ones that I don't really care for? Yes. Did you catch that? And the giving of thanks? Do you realize that how many of you are employed by people that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior? You've got a job in a company or a firm or an association that has people in it that aren't saved. When you go shopping at Walmart at 1:30 in the morning because you forgot to get something for the next day, okay? We do a lot of that at our house, it seems like. It's at 12 o'clock, my wife's up, she went, I got to go get something for in the morning, and whoop, out the door she goes. And I pray, Lord, help her not to get robbed in the parking lot or something bad happened, you know. But you know what? We've got a Walmart to go to that's open 24/7. But it's not run by fundamentalist Christians. Is it? Now, this is the point I'm trying to make, folks. Are you thankful that we have those things? I visited some countries that didn't have anything like that. Nothing like that. That to find a place even close to a Walmart, you got to drive 5 hours. You think about that. Are you thankful? Oh, man, I got to go back to Pace. I got to drive to Pace. You go to Walmart, take your heel and bring it up if you can do it. Kick yourself. You ungrateful wretch. I'm sorry. I may have hurt somebody's feelings. But you're an ungrateful wretch when you have so much around you. And you're not thankful for them. God said that we're to make supplications, intercessions, prayers, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Now, I don't know about you, but as I've looked at this passage of Scripture over and over again over the past few weeks, I am rebuked. Seriously rebuked. Because I don't have that kind of a thankful spirit. I should. And every Christian should. So what do we need to do about it? Well, that's a great verse, Pastor. That's a great verse. But I'm not really going to follow it. I'm going to just keep doing what I'm doing. God help us if we've got that kind of spirit. Let's go on. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Why do we pray for those in authority over us? The Bible gives us the reason, right here, that we might live a quiet and peaceable life in what? All godliness and honesty. In other words, to live out our lives according to conscience. Godliness, honesty. I'm thankful for the United States of America, but I'm watching our liberties slip away from us, and I see people all around us that don't care. They don't give a flip. They're not praying. They're not thinking about what's happening. They're just living their life without a care in the world. One of these days, it may be that we're jailed just because we follow this book. It is considered today in our country offensive for you to love righteousness and to hate ungodliness. It's offensive to people. How long is it going to be before preachers are locked up and before long business people are locked up because they refuse to follow the guidelines of the world? You have to hire these people even though they're ungodly and your conscience is against. You have to hire them. Where you can close your business down, maybe, or go to jail. We've already seen that in our country. But what does the Bible say? We're to be praying for our kings and for those in authority over us that we can lead a quiet and peaceable life. But it goes on further. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Father. Everything that goes before that verse of Scripture, everything that's listed there, about supplicating and interceding and praying and giving of thanks. All of that mentioned there. And, as it says here, praying for kings and for all those in authority. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. It's a good thing. Don't you want to be doing good things? I was in the gym this afternoon here, and I was filling in for camp. And, you know, one of the things that a camp leader has to do, camp leaders are not just enjoying the whole afternoon, you know.
Let's play ping pong.
Okay.
Let's play hide and go seek.
Sometimes you have to get on a kid that's jumping on another child in the bounce house because they looked at me wrong. Okay. Something really serious like that. And you have to go, let's go over here. Can't be in the bounce house anymore. We got a couple of criers like that. Nope, I'm talking to your parents today. Amazing. They try to pull that kind of stuff, all right? Now, my point is this. We want our children to do good things. And Bruce sets the example. Oh, now, parents and grandparents. And what does God say is good and acceptable? It's to pray for people that we don't agree with. People that even disgust us as Christians. Kings and those in authority over us. Even people on the city council that are troubling individuals. They've got an agenda that they're trying to ram down the throats of our city and our citizens here. Praying for them. Praying for them. Good and acceptable. And notice, please, God's view of the unsaved. Notice what he says here. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth? What is God's desire for these people that are lost that we're praying for? It's God's desire that they would come to him and know salvation. He's not licking his chops and rubbing his hands, oh, how many people I'm going to get to throw into hell. You know our God does not think that way. Some of us think that way. Oh, Lord! We start calling down in precatory prayers. Oh, Lord God, rain down fire from heaven on him because he said something about me on Facebook. God says he wills, he desires that all men should be saved and come to the knowledge of him. Far different view than many have today. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Who's the one that's mediating in our behalf? Jesus Christ. Goes on. And we'll close with this thought here before we go to prayer. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Note, who gave himself. You don't even have to read the rest of that verse. Just the thought that he gave himself. Remember what the Apostle Paul said about the people of Macedonia? How they not only gave of their wealth, but they gave of themselves first of all. That's the phrase that's used in the Corinthians. They gave of themselves first of all. That's the point of Christianity, folks. People ought to look at us and now the first thing that comes to their mind, there's a servant of God. There's a servant that gives their all to God. Now, boy, there's a loser over there, boy. He's a rascal. Can't trust him. And you're supposed to have a Christian testimony? What a point here. He gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Folks, I'm telling you, the Christian life is far more serious than we really take it. And the reason that we have so little power today, I think, it's my opinion, the reason I believe we have so little power today is because we're not praying according to God's will. We're not praying for those that are on the city council. We're not praying for our local and state officials. We're not praying for those that serve on the federal level. We're not praying like we are. We would do these generic prayers. Lord, pray for all those in government. Oh, that's meaningful. That's meaningful. Do you pray for your children like that? Oh, Lord God, bless my children today. Amen. Is that how you pray for your children? Is that how you pray for your grandchildren? I don't think so. I think you call them by name before God. I think you go to God and you say their name and say, oh, Lord God, save them. I want to see them saved. Oh, Lord God, I'm praying for my grandbaby that the Lord would save them for Jesus' sake. You're serious about that. We get serious about the things that are close to us and the things that we love. But we're not serious about the things that we don't love. And God says it's good and acceptable that we do so. What a very serious and important reminder from God's Word. And I hope it's been a wake-up call to me. It's been a wake-up call to me. That instead of just sitting back all the time criticizing all those people, what do I need to be doing? What does Todd Brainerd need to be doing? I should be praying for them. I should be praying for their salvation. I should be praying for them to have their hearts turned toward God Almighty and be changed and transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. I sent out 2 weeks ago, just trying to practice what I preach, I sent out a gospel witness to some of our legislators in an email form. I haven't heard back from one of them, but I sent them an email. I said, I'm Pastor Todd Brainerd. I just want to let you know I'm praying for you. And I want you to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Let me give you my testimony. I shared a brief testimony. And then I shared Bible verses with them. I have no idea where they'll ever lay their eyes on it. But maybe there's an intern, or maybe there's someone that's working in that office that may say, you know what, I'm going to take this to so-and-so and share it with them. I pray that the gospel will get to them, because we have legislators that need to be saved. And they need to have God's people interested enough to pray for them. Right? Well, we'll let that church down the road do that. No, it starts right here. It's got to start right here among God's people. Until that happens, folks, until that happens, we're not going to see a lot of change. We're going to see a continued slide. I know we're living in days of apostasy, but I believe God can still do a work in hearts and lives. I read testimonies of individuals that were hardened toward sin, hardened toward God, come to know Jesus Christ. Well, I shared with you a few weeks ago about the testimony of a 61-year-old I read just recently, someone posted. Hardened individual, and yet God saved them, totally transformed their life. They're on fire for God. Can God still do that? Absolutely. Just because you haven't seen him in a while doesn't mean God stopped working. God's still working. We've just got to trust him to do that work. Are you trusting him tonight? Are you trusting him enough to say, Lord, I'm going to get serious about this, praying for our leaders, praying for those in authority over us. I'm going to get them on my prayer list. I got this big old long prayer list of all my family. Over here, I'm going to put some legislators and politicians. I'm going to start praying for them. Until you get interested in doing what God said in his word, we're not going to see any change. Not going to happen. And we need to pray that way. We need to desire that. That means you got to get interested in your neighbors. You got to get interested. You got to go to them and start talking to them about the Lord. Some of them may be shocked. Didn't know you were a Christian. Instead of criticizing, go over and witness to them. Instead of thinking ugly thoughts about them, they played some music too loud. Well, go talk to them. Let them know you're praying for them. You're concerned about them. Take them an apple pie. If you can make me. If you're not a good baker, go buy one from Wendy's. Right? But take them something and show some friendliness. That you're not, you just don't live inside the four corners of your house, but that you got an interest in the people that live around you. Do they know that you're a born again, Bible believing Christian? That's when we start taking things seriously in the Christian life. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. Lord, living the Christian life is far more serious than people take it. It means thinking outside of ourselves. It means getting serious about praying for those in authority over us, praying for all men, and having a thankful spirit for them. Lord, I pray that you would challenge our hearts tonight, that you would stir us up, that we would get on fire for thee in these last times. Before the trumpet sounds and calls us forth from this earth, Lord, help us not to spend our life just wandering time waiting for the rapture. Help us, dear Lord, to be concerned about those that live around us, and our friends, our neighbors, our family, that need the Lord Jesus Christ. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.